This year, 2012, is the 50th anniversary of Madeline L'Engle's Newbery Award-winning book, A Wrinkle in Time. How many of you know that book? It's in our library here at the church. In 1962, L'Engle, a superb writer and also a commentator on culture, someone who writes and speaks from the perspective of her Christian faith, she introduced the world, back in 1962, to three of the most imaginative and courageous children you would ever want to know and would never forget. First, there was Meg. Meg was about 12 or 13. Her brother's name was Charles Wallace. He never went by just one name. He always went by Charles Wallace. I don't know how old he was, but he was younger than Meg. And then there was Meg's friend, the neighbor, Calvin O'Keefe. The three of them were like musketeers. Meg's father was a scientist for the government, and he had been captured, kidnapped, really, and taken someplace. They did not know where he was. But then there was some kind of divine intervention in which someone came, a messenger, to tell them where he was. He had been captured by the dark thing. And the only way to reach him was through a wrinkle in time. A wrinkle in time. Time travel to another place, where they must face the dark thing in the ultimate battle between good and evil. This imaginative book is absolutely rich with Christian symbolism, Christian symbols that are barely hidden between the surface of the book. Faith, hope, and trust grows on Meg and Charles Wallace and Calvin as they make their pilgrimage to rescue Mr. Murray from the clutches of the dark thing. Which, by the way, is all the more pity that so many Christian communities in 1962 and for 20 years afterwards kept banning the book. Banning the book because it talked about things that were unseen and not heard of, other worlds, for crying out loud. Obviously, these were people who do not confess with us the confession we make every week in the Nicene Creed, that we believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and all that is what? Seen and unseen. Remember the old days we used to say visible and invisible? We're not bothered by that. But some people are. A group of people who were not bothered by that are the Celtic people. Leonard Beechey, who wrote an article in the November 17, 2009 Christian Century, he wrote about them. He said they referred to a wrinkle in time as twilight time, or the time in between times, the Celtic people. He said for them it was an enchanted moment at dusk or dawn, when the veil between this world and the world beyond us is thin, and we seem to breathe its air. I really like that description. Let me do it again. Those enchanted moments at dusk and dawn, when the veil between this world and the world beyond us is thin, and we seem to breathe its air. Surely this must have been the thin air that Peter and James and John were breathing and taking in on top of that mountain where Jesus was transfigured, and they had a glimpse, the veil was lifted, and in that time in between, in that wrinkle of time, they saw Jesus for who he was, the Son of God, the Savior. Surely it was that kind of wrinkle in time when Lazarus sat bolt up in his tomb and sucked in his first breath of air after hearing Jesus call to him, "Come out, come out!" Thin air. And he left his grave digs behind. A wrinkle in time. In between times. I think it is one of the best descriptions of this season we call Advent. I don't mean the season of the Christmas rush or the rush to Christmas, with all the things that we have to do at this time of year, with all the lists that we need to make, with all the things that we need to check off, cookies, candies, getting the tree, and so on and so forth. Today, this first Sunday in Advent, we mark a journey in the wrinkle of time called Advent. We mark it by lighting a candle to remind ourselves that our redemption is near, and we need a light to see it. And we light a candle because it reminds us that this light, the light of the world, Jesus Christ, is the light that no darkness can overcome. It is a wrinkle in time because we're looking both at the same time forwards and backwards. We look forward to the coming of Christ again at Christmas, but in the same way we are also looking over our shoulders to our ancestors in the faith, to people like Jeremiah in our first reading this morning. People like Jeremiah. Jeremiah knew something about a wrinkle in time. Jeremiah was a prophet in Babylon. The Israelites in exile, in the Babylonian exile, he went about day in and day out trying to light a candle, trying to remind people who they were. They were the Lord's. They were Yahweh's. And that Yahweh would deliver them. But nobody, including Jeremiah, had a clue that that deliverance would come through a secular king, the Persian king Cyrus. A wrinkle in time, for sure. We look back at Jesus when he came the first time, and we listen to him saying, "Stop looking down. Look up. Your redemption is near." You know, it's really easy to really be down at this time of year. I mean, so many awful things are happening in our world. I mean, you know, there's always this talk every day, day in and day out, about falling off the fiscal cliff. Difficult economic times. We have many people who are unemployed, and, you know, this Christmas will not be for them what they want it to be. We have the homeless. We have people who are hungry. There are so many things. We watch on television the devastation of Hurricane Sandy and what it did to people's lives. It is very easy to believe that we have nothing to hope for, that this is a very difficult thing and it all depends upon us. And so the season of Advent comes, and Jesus says to us, "Look up, raise your heads. Your redemption is drawing near. The kingdom of God is near." And so again, we light a candle. We light a candle to remind us to look up. Look up here. We are a people who have hope. We are not distraught. We are not desperate. How quickly things in the world disappear and change. But what does not change is the Savior, Jesus Christ. Advent is this time in between, a wrinkle in time when we are encouraged to give up our illusionary hopes, all the things that are false in the world, and look toward the Savior, Jesus Christ. Advent is a time when we see not only our own wounds and our own need for repentance, but we see the woundedness of others, our brothers and sisters, and we are encouraged to look up and to seek the healing power of reconciliation through the forgiveness that is ours in Jesus Christ. We come to this table and we hear it again and again. This is given and shed for you. You are forgiven. You are reconciled. And you are sent into the world to be that beacon of hope in this wrinkle of time. Again, I go back to Leonard Beechey. He sums up the Advent season. This wrinkle in time, he writes, Advent time, when we see past ourselves toward the unveiling of the kingdom of God at hand. For the days are surely coming, says the Lord. The foretaste, the thin air of a wrinkle in time, is here at Christ's table. In the same way that Peter, James, and John breathed that thin air, in the same way that Lazarus breathed that thin air, in the same way that the veil was lifted for them, it's lifted for us because we see that Christ is here with us. Christ wants to be with us. And so Christ is, that we might take Christ with us into the world, to dark places that so desperately need to hear the the message of hope and love and mercy and compassion. Lift up your heads. See the light. Take it into the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.